This is, I mean, another public service announcement. If you listen to part one, you will have heard we were starting to get a little tipsy. Chris and Stu were three beers in, I think, in the first hour. That's excessive. They were kind of two-thirds beers, though, each pint. But yeah, that was excessive. I was at least three Scroobiuses in. We continue now into part two and then on to part three. It's going to be emotional. It's going to be intense. Hopefully you'll enjoy it. You may get offended if you do. Go fuck you. No, I'm kidding. If you do, then I apologise hugely, but this is three idiots getting drunk. What can you expect? Enjoy part two. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is episode two of... No, yeah, part two of episode 118 of the Distraction Pieces podcast. I'm joined again by Chris and Stu. Have you heard the first part? We're three or four pints in. I've had about three Scroobiuses, but I keep topping them up. We're brought to you by Speech Development Records, as ever. Head to speechdevelopmentrecords.com and buy stuff. That'd be nice. My adverts get worse and worse as I drink more and more, so it's probably best to just play the intro music. Hit the music, Chris. That's not the intro music. Right, here we are. We are back on the Distraction Pieces drunk cast.
Hello.
Voila!
There he is. There he is again. That actually comes up a lot in Central Intelligence.
Really?
In the film Central Intelligence.
Does. Yeah, like
The Rock sends a video of that to Kevin Hart. Just going, do you remember this? Voila! Voila!
Genius.
It's very good.
Well, how old was you when that came out, Stu?
49.
Anyway, so what are we going to get into first on this? We had a lot of stuff we wanted to discuss.
We discussed all the TV shows that you wanted to cover.
Should we kick off with Dartford?
No, I'll do that later, mate. Save it.
Just because of the way you introed the intro music, Limmy Live.
Okay. Yeah.
Number one. My God, it was hilarious. It's absolutely amazing. But the thing that kept crossing my mind was, I wish I'd gone with someone who's never heard of him, because they would have been completely confused. Because it was so many references to the TV show and in jokes, and the fact that the biggest laughs at the start was him pulling a face for a good 30 seconds or so. And I just imagine someone being like, so this is a sold out Hammersmith Apollo of 5,000 people or something, and there's just a guy out on stage pulling faces.
Amazing.
What is going on? But, so as I told you, I went on my own. So I get there.
I was really jealous, by the way. Like,
you couldn't make
I missed it.
You?
I can't remember where I was.
I was kind of a last minute one. I was like, the day or two before, I was like, anyone up for it? And I grabbed a ticket online. And I'm in the bar, and I see that beside the bar is a little plug socket. So I'm charging my phone and reading the comic. And one or two people... And one or two people come over and say hello. And again, it's not because I'm super... famous, but I've had Limmy on the podcast, and prior to that there'd probably be a crossover in our audiences, but with that involved, like, there was a fair few, so a few people came over and asked for a picture, and that was a bit awkward because I'm like, I'm squatting with my coat covering my charger lead because I don't want to get told off for using the plug socket. My coat covering my charger lead, reading a comic on my own. Can I remember? And the two people who asked for a picture, I didn't get up. I made them squat down with me. So can I have a picture? I was like, yeah, come.
He didn't get up because he'd been doing so many squats. He'd been doing so many squats and bragging to himself about his
Right? It gets worse, right? I'm sitting there and I thought I'll just go to my seat because then it's in the dark and whatever. And I'm sitting there and I start making a note to talk to you guys, and I'm not hating on it, but there was a couple of guys next to me who were city boys, all suited up,
yeah,
quite beery.
Yeah,
they'd had a lager or two,
Oh dear.
And they were kind of saying how, yeah.
Welcome to the drunk cast.
They were kind of saying how, oh, Lemmy's a bit hit and miss and all that, which I don't agree. I think it's an unusual taste, but it's,
yeah.
They were saying all this, and I'm sitting there like, not in a dick way, but it's like there was a lot of talk before, and it was up and down, and I was just thinking these guys are a bit drunk, and it might be interesting during a comedy show because it can get a bit loud. And then one of them said to the other, oh, but did you hear him on Scroobius Pip's podcast? And I'm just sat there just staring dead forward. And his mate's like, no, I didn't. They then proceed to discuss the podcast.
But
they
were sat next to you?
Sat next to me, didn't realise.
What, again, they didn't realise?
Didn't realise at all. And it wasn't one of them ones where you're saying it to give a nudge. It was quite clear that they just hadn't spotted. It's interesting because I've got longer hair. Like, I don't post a lot of pictures online. Because of my long ponytail, the pictures I post the most are distraction pieces really ones where long. I've got a shaved head.
All right.
And all this. But, so they genuinely didn't recognise me. So I'm just sitting there in absolute hell, just like two guys next to me talking about me. It had gone too far for me to say, hey guys.
Yeah.
It's,
only me.
What's up? Da, da,
da, da. Thankfully, again, it starts and that's the entertainment. The first half is amazing. The second half. The first half ends and there's an interval, and I'm reading my program, and there's two people in front of me and one next to me, and they're all together. And again, people are nice, and they were like a bit drunk, and they were like, "Oh, like, have you come on your own?" And I'm like, "Yeah," but in a kind of that was my choice kind of way, not being rude but being quiet.
Was
kind
it
of,
though?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
I weren't there to buddy up with people, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah. And then they're like, oh, because there was a point where Libby said, put your hands up if you're from London. And they went, oh, he put his hand up and he's not from London. He's lived here. And they were kind of saying, is he allowed to? He lived in the Midlands. I'm like, well, I guess he can put his hands up for both. Or just trying to keep it polite, but trying to cut it short. And again, they were lovely, but they were just drunk and trying to engage me, which is nice, but it was awkward. And then the girl goes, I'll tell you who you look like. I'm like, all right. And have you heard of Scroobius Pip?
Oh, amazing.
And again, I'm like, what do I do? I don't go, that's me, guys. Surprise, you've got a celebrity with you.
You could jokingly, because I would, because I'm embarrassing, but you would feel too, you'd probably feel too self-aware for that.
Yeah.
What did you do?
I just went, she said, have you heard of Scroobius Pip? I was like, yeah. And because I've been ending everything and kind of looking down, and then her boyfriend was like, oh, it's just because you've got a big beard and that. Yeah. And I was like,
oh, wow.
Then thankfully part two started and I could enjoy that in silence and sneak out without further embarrassment.
Oh, man, that would be pretty strange. I mean,
what an awkward and uncomfortable night.
Yeah, my God.
And again, it's not a story of a look how famous I am. Everyone knows because Limmy was on the podcast anyway, so it's likely there'd be a crossover. I just didn't expect literally all the people surrounding me to know of Scroobius Pip, but not enough to recognise me. And it was just awkward.
Was you not curious to go like, yeah, I've heard he's a right prick?
Oh, I do that anyway when people talk about him.
Yeah, that's it, though. I've only ever heard nice things about him, so
yeah.
That was it. Was it?
Yeah, that's lies. We're talking to you all the time.
I enjoyed it. That was a good night out.
Sometimes we have people, like when we're at Lizards, and they want photos with him outside, and if I've had a few drinks and I'm feeling particularly painful, that can be a really painful job for everyone involved.
Yep, it drags sometimes.
That happened last time, and I was pulling faces. And
was that the one that I asked you to run, and you said you weren't going to get drunk?
I didn't drink. I had how many beers did I have?
Beers or shots?
You had the shots in the office with the boss, didn't you? When you was counting up the money.
Yeah, but that was...
No, he had the shots early on as well.
Sorry.
Early on.
No,
when I came up to the bar and he was doing a shot.
I didn't have anything to drink till like 11. Then I had a pot. Then I had two pints and two shots. Three pints and two shots.
He said to me, it was the best conversation. He went, you know what? Because Stu's not here and I'm running it, he said, I'm not going to drink tonight. And I went, all right. I didn't say anything. He went,
brilliant.
And then literally Paul's went, I'll have a few. So it literally lasted less than, I'm not going to drink tonight. Well, I'll have a few. It was a good night though, right? It was a slow start. It was like bank holiday weekend and all this, but it got there in the end and was a lovely one, I thought.
I had a jolly old time. I've always I'm not going to hide the fact that we had Lindy Layton play, and she's definitely one of, like, I think she's, I have a big crush on Lindy Layton.
Oh, there's no, mate, I've there's got no shadow of a doubt. Crush on Lindy Layton, always have had.
Yeah, I really, and like her car, she drives this like old school BMW with leopard skin leopard seat. Skin, I mean, yeah.
She's pretty tall.
Pretty much, yeah, she's my dream woman.
She's
I think.
Like a Lindy.
Yeah.
Doesn't hurt that she can DJ like a motherfucker as well.
DJ, yeah, a lot of fun.
Got a serious voice on her.
Yeah. A legend. And as said, I mean, we should mention it repeatedly because I'm really excited. Our last one of the year at the book club is October 22nd. So,
Six Music, Sean Caveney coming down. And the residents.
Hell yeah!
And all of us just there getting drunk.
I'm
like
totally
we are now.
Up for a very fun one. I mean, it's really cool. Do you know what's weird as well? Is that there are, you know, people, our podcast fans there who come and have a chat with
I
us
tell
now,
you what,
which is strange.
I like, tell you what. If you're on the fence, tell you what. If you're on the fence, I believe it is the day after a certain Mr. Craig's, Chris's birthday.
Wow. 22nd.
Is that the day after?
Yours is the
21st,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, mine's the 21st.
Yeah. All right. See, I know. Yeah. If you want to come down and celebrate Chris's birthday,
yeah.
That's even more exciting now. Imagine the state he's going to be in. Imagine how easy it will be if you're female to pull Chris if you so desired. I mean, it's normally quite easy.
Yeah, it's no great shakes there.
So we're going to have a Craig story at the end of this week's one.
We definitely going to have a Craig story.
I reckon by the time we do a next drunk cast, there might be a modern Craig one.
You keep saying there's definitely going to be one. What happens if, you know, we don't? What happens if I bottle out of it?
I reckon you'll be up for sharing a Craig story. Because Stu has been pushing hard for the Term Mills Craig story.
Mm.
I've been pushing hard for the Birmingham Craig story. Or the main Birmingham Craig story. Craig spent a lot of his time in Birmingham and there was a lot of embarrassment.
They're both brilliant.
They're both great, yeah. So it's a case of how many drinks we get down Chris... And how Craig allows what Craig allows him to
yeah, it depends.
To share.
I think the Term Mills one's too, it's too nasty, too sexy.
Speaking of drinks, me and Ian sat there watching the UFC.
Oh yeah,
what's that you're drinking, mate? I call it my alien water.
Alien water.
Alien water.
Sorry, no, hold on, wait. Like I don't know who said that.
Give a little bit more backstory.
Either way,
I know we've spoken about him quite a lot. But
so he's
like no one else I've ever met.
No, he's a special one. He's my brother. He's, as we always say, he's very intelligent.
Yep.
He's got very unique views a lot of the time and very cutthroat views. There's not kind of on the fence about stuff. It's very much, here's my belief.
But really lovely.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. He did a fast, as I've said before. He's really into a lot of weird health stuff now. He will only eat stuff he's prepared. The easiest example I have for this is he was struggling to get his bread right. He makes bread and he was struggling. And I was like, that's weird.
You know what it's like, maintaining, trying to get your bread right.
I was like, no, that's weird. Like Amy, who looks after the speech development page and things like that, and she bakes her own bread. And no offence, but she's not a genius or anything, or a master chef. Do you know what I mean? And
you
I
are,
like,
Amy. You are.
We like you.
I don't listen to this guy.
But then he was like, the reason he was struggling is because he can't use yeast.
Amy's got plenty of yeast.
How dare you?
Oh, Chris.
No, he can't use yeast because yeast isn't something he's made. So he has to cultivate his own bacterias to use to make the bread rise. So that's the kind of...
Life's got to be hard work for Ian, hasn't it?
Mate, and that's it. That's the beautiful thing. Like my mum and dad both say all the time, like, oh, I'd love to do all that, like, if I had the time. I think Amy as well, I've told her about this, she's like, oh, I'd love to have the time for that. It's like, he gets up at 5:30 or 6 every morning to start his bread, to start this. And it's like, he doesn't have the time, he makes time. So, yeah, as we've established, he's a bit weird, and he's like, oh, I call it my alien water. And he's got a jar of water, and there's little things, like, it looks like tadpoles almost. And when you turn it, they don't move, if you know what I mean. They remain in place.
No, I don't know what you mean, mate. It's insane.
You know, so if it's here, if we turn, the top of the water would change.
This is podcast
and
gold,
what's inside
by the way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So just so you know, imagine you've got a glass and it's half full and you turn it to a 45-degree angle, then the water would kind of change where it is. The top of the level of the water would dissect the glass.
Mm-hmm.
but what's in the water wouldn't have moved. Mm-hmm. It would have kind of, it's got this weird membrane about it. Yeah. And it turns out he leaves, he gets his water and he fills it with chia seeds and then he pops it in the fridge overnight. And the reason he does this is chia seeds have kind of a membrane and absorb the water. So when you drink it, you get the water you've drunk and the slow release of the water the chia seeds have absorbed, making you continually hydrated throughout the day or evening.
Some pretty clever shit there. I mean, if you haven't...
It's dope, it's dope. It's, but again, it's dope. A weird... You're watching UFC at 4 a.m, you weirdo. Why are you drinking chia seeds? Yeah.
I mean, I just...
Is that so he wants to pee the bed?
It makes sense, though. It makes tons of sense. Yeah, again, I mean, hydration is important and it's slow release.
You could just have a glass of water when you're thirsty again.
Just have a couple of glasses of water, yeah. But yeah, that's what he was drinking. And I made note of that. I was like, that was a simple question. Oh, what are you drinking? Alien water.
Alien water.
I mean, speaking
No one else would ever say that apart from Ian.
Yeah.
Speaking of UFCs, there was a UFC that you, me and Ian stayed up for. And we had some big conversations that night. We often get a bit... I mean, we don't drink at UFCs particularly. Every now and then you'll have a beer, but generally we don't. No. But we all get a bit sleep deprived and mental. Yeah. And the one that was making me laugh was your casual admission of the fact that you've watched Bad Boys at least 30 times.
I swear I have.
Who's in that? Is that Martin Lawrence?
And Will Smith.
Yeah, Will Smith. Yeah. Who's in that? It's because they're making Bad Boys 3 is why.
I woke up this morning with a Power Ranger damn near shoved up my ass.
Never seen
it. Yeah.
Never seen it.
No.
I love it. It is a good film, but it cracked us up the fact that Chris has watched it 30 times.
Genuine, that's not exaggeration. If I was to exaggerate, I'd say 200. I mean, at least 30. Solid.
The bit that then slayed me was the thought that, like, if he didn't actually own it and was just at Blockbusters every week, just renting out Bad Boys, or if he's watching it on Netflix.
Oh, man.
And it's on the recently watched, on the recommended, on the continue watching.
Sorry, but to mention things that Chris is a bit obsessive and weird about. Chatting at work the other day with my mate Danny that works for our... He was also my Muay Thai instructor.
Yeah.
And he just got chatting and I was telling him about the immersive experience thing I'd done on Saturday in London. And he said, oh, yeah, he said, like, and he said, you do the secret cinema thing. I got chatting about that. And he went, my mate used to, he was the alien in the alien
no
immersive thing.
The Trocadero.
Well, get going there?
And I was like, Chris, he was barred because he kept going and throwing himself in the arms of the alien to try and get back. And I was like, shit.
Fuck. That's a small world. I mean, they must have had aliens on an alien rotor.
Yeah.
But, shit, man, that could have been the guy. That's beautiful,
which
man.
Aliens on this week?
I know.
You know you're harder than, like, Ripley when an alien goes to tackle you and then pushes you away.
No, because the mistake you're making, Ripley is a character where there were real aliens and you're a dickhead at the Trocadero, essentially in Laser Quest.
Oh, that's it.
You're essentially a dickhead at Laser Quest.
I remember now.
Alien.
Put that on your CV.
I remember.
Essentially the dickhead at Laser Quest.
Holding your gun in that way. That you can't get a shot.
Remember those kids?
Covering the front with your gun and the sides. So
playing
you have to shoot
it all day, every day. I'm only jealous.
Another thing that we found great humour in, and it probably won't seem funny now, but I guess we've had a few drinks, was the fact... We were just talking about prequels, and we were talking about the fact that anything can be a prequel as long as it's before. So it's like, have you seen the Die Hard prequel? Braveheart. And literally, it is a prequel. It was set 100 years before. It's a prequel. It counts. So, yeah. For some reason, we're finding great humour in that.
That's very good.
A big chunk of that. But speaking of that,
I mean, obviously, we're a little way away from it. I mean, people get upset with talking about Christmas and that, but
yeah,
that is some of our favourite movies.
It's my favourite Christmas film. My Christmas tradition.
That's a test for many people when I ask them, what's your favourite Christmas film?
In fact,
Elf. It's Elf.
White Christmas.
Wrong. It's Die Hard.
It's Die Hard. The reason that October 22nd is our last Lizards is because the next
Die Hard's on
Christmas Eve. Yeah.
Yeah. The next one was on Christmas Eve, and my tradition on Christmas Eve is I go up the bell, I have a few drinks, I leave early, come home and watch Die Hard.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Exactly. It's a classic.
Classic Willis.
What do we want to go on to next? There's more UFC stuff. There was another one where Ian went home early because he was a bit sleepy. So
it was me.
That was one. That was a weird one though, because you hadn't particularly confirmed that you were coming round.
I just turned up
at my door at 1 o'clock. Like, all right, guys.
Unlocked, I'd have walked straight in as well. Yeah. He used to leave his door unlocked.
Which is weirdly, half an hour after that, Ian decided to call it a night. So I don't know if Chris was a bit overexcited. But on that one, have you seen the ref, Gary Copeland? A lot of people are referring to him as Mini Brock.
Slick back hair.
Oh, that
looks like he's about to explode. Yep. He was on the screen for a few seconds, and I just let Chris know. I'd got him a bit of a surprise, and I'd hired that guy as his new alarm clock. And every morning, he was just going to jump up, scream, and punch Chris in the balls. Just go, yeah! Punch Chris in the balls. And Google Gary Copeland. In fact, Gary Copeland, and then look at the pictures of Chris, and imagine Chris being woken up each morning by Gary Copeland just giving him a firm punch.
Do you want to see him? Sure. Have you seen him, mate? Do you know what he looks like? Of course I know he is. He's a funny looking dude, and because it's like 4 or 5 a.m. in the morning, everything's getting a bit trippy. Because I think I've been working. I DJed with my brother, weirdly, and I got there, and then you're threatening to like hire people to smash me in the balls as a wake up call,
as an alarm clock. That would have been a nice gift, I think.
He looked like a 90s video game character, didn't he?
Yeah,
like an angry duck.
Shall we talk a wee bit about UFC? Or 204 and 205. Obviously, as this comes out, it's a few days before 204, which is the best card the UK's ever seen. By a long way, right?
Yep.
It's got my man in there.
You've got Bisping having his rematch with Henderson, who's on his last ever fight, which is amazing. Is Belfort against Musasi?
I'm going to get my little thing up.
Just popping up now.
Get your little thing up.
Just popping it up now, mate.
Pop my little thing up.
But yeah,
Bisping versus Henderson is an amazing fight because of just what we witnessed in the first time around with that finish from Henderson.
Everyone can argue that it's not fair because it's the number 13 ranked middleweight getting a title shot, but I don't care. I fancy it. It's a fun fight.
Do you know what? I know he's the champ and he's English and I should be Team Bisping, but I'm not. I love Hendo.
I mean,
good reason, the fact you're not, right?
The fact is, Henderson is on his last fight ever, and Henderson is as legit a legend as you'll ever get in MMA. He's been pride champ, he's been champ all over the place, and yeah, it'd be beautiful for him to end as champ.
Perfect.
But again, it's a beautiful end anyway. That isn't hating on Bisping. I think Bisping is at the tail end of his career as well.
Yeah.
He's finally got the belt, and that was a beautiful moment. So, not that I want Bisping to lose the belt, but it was great when he had that moment. It'd be equally great for Henderson to finally get it.
I'd say that despite I've always been a strange voter of the underdog or the bad guy Bisping, even in this instance, I'd kind of like Hendo to win that. Hendo, because of, I think, what Henderson has represented. He's one of the old guard, really, of MMA, isn't he? He's like, so is Bisping in many ways.
Yeah,
Bisping has got what he wanted.
I don't think
he's grafted, he's fought for it, you know, like, love him or hate him.
Do you know what? I'm sure he's a top fella, but I just don't warm to him.
No, I get that.
I think, after fights and that, like especially after when he won the fight and he won the belt, I just thought, I don't know. I just seemed a little bit disrespectful.
I wonder if you knew him, you'd warm to him.
I was going to say, it's always hard to say while they're still fighting.
Yeah,
because Sonnen on his podcast is a different person.
When
he was a UFC fighter.
Anderson Silva, you suck.
Yeah, yeah, and it's great. But who else is on that card? Because I said it's not just Manua. That fight. It's a stacked card. So Manua's against OSP, which is a great scrap.
Mm-hmm.
So who else is it? Is it Belfort?
Belfort, Musasi.
Yeah, which is, that's a fight and a half. Like, Musasi is one of the most underrated in the UFC, right? In Strikeforce, he was champ, he was amazing, and yeah.
Brad Pickett. Yeah,
Brad Pickett's on there.
Fuck, when we went recently, didn't we walk past Brad? Didn't you get a photo with him?
Yeah, man. Sure? We did. That was at Bama, right?
Yeah.
What a show that was. We spoke about that. Yeah.
He was so lovely. He was just sitting on the floor, wasn't he? And I just see him, I went, he was literally sitting on the floor just as you walked in, like, where we got our tickets. And I just went, hello, Brad. And he just, jumped up, had photos.
I tell you what else is good. Two other kind of pals of mine that we meet at the events, Polaris. The BJJ event in the UK had the best lineup ever at the last one. They've just announced their new refs and judges, and two of the judges, Mark Goddard, who's fantastic. I think he's as good as anyone in the UFC. I think
definitely he's been Big consistent.
John, I think Big John's had some mistakes over recent years.
I would say it's
between Herb Dean and Mark Goddard for the best in the business. Yeah. And Herb had a bit of a dodgy decision recently, but still, I'd say it's between them two. So Mark, a lot of love. And then Dan Hardy. So that is the two judges at Polaris. Wow. Or two of the three judges.
One of the few people I've been starstruck by.
Yeah. And that was a banner as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You got acted proper like at the moment.
Like, didn't expect to see him. And then, like, when we first watched UFC...
We met Pickett at Bellator, and then it was a Bama in Birmingham I introduced you and Sam Marshall
just,
to.
Just like Hardy. Gave him dreamy eyes and was smiling at him and like was just really grateful to shake his hand.
The face you're pulling now isn't dreamy, it's fucking creepy.
It's fucking hot.
But yeah, that's great. So let's talk a bit about 205 or previous events. What do you want to go into? Because there's been some interesting previous bits. Let's quickly go on to, as we touched upon it, a Roy Nelson kicking Big John McCarthy.
Yeah.
It's not acceptable.
It's not acceptable, I don't think. I love Big Country. I think he's great. But previously Dana has said, if you put your hands on a judge...
You're out of there.
You're out the door. So I think it's a tough one. I think if Bellator weren't snapping up ex-UFC fighters like nobody's business, we would have heard a lot more about this.
Yeah.
I think the fact is they don't want to let anyone off contract because Big Country, he's still a pull regardless. He's a fan favourite. Yeah.
I've only seen that recently.
Yeah, we watched it before coming around here.
And I only saw it from one angle. I don't know if you've seen it from multi. He does put a foot on him or whatever.
It's not a kick, is it? It's a push.
It's a frustrated push. Now,
and it's fair because his frustration was at the fact he had to hit the person he's beating more than he wanted to. And again, it's a misconception of MMA that it's this brutal... Of violent,
especially
thing.
If someone's listening to it's this and we've just gone, he's kicked a ref. When actually, when we explain it further,
he's kicking a ref because, and he touched a ref, sorry, because he was saying, look, I felt the guy was out.
Yeah.
And the ref, and again, it's weird with MMA because there's grappling, there's all sorts. It's not as simple as you knock them down.
Yeah.
So, and he felt he had to punch too many times to a guy who he likes. He's like, I like Bigfoot. I've met his family. Mm. I think he's a good guy. He's been fighting for years. I didn't want to have to land two or three extra punches. I'd won the fight. So it was annoyance at that, but still, you can't put your hands or feet on a...
Do you know what?
On a ref,
I'd give it a pass and I wouldn't sweat it that much because, I've only seen it from that one angle. I haven't seen if it's like an extension of a kick or more of he's put his foot on him as in to say, come on, man, what was that about? It was a bit shitty. Because if that was, for example, if he put it down,
so it's, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. If he'd have put his arm on a ref's shoulder and sort of just gone, that was a bit shitty, you wouldn't be chucking him out for it.
Yeah. It's different because it was a push with the foot and a walk away. Yeah. But I mean, equally, we've had Verdum the week before, Travis Brown's coach, which was, again, it's very out of character for MMA.
Very strange.
Speaking of, obviously, reluctance to let fighters leave and join Bellator, what's the score with the stuff you sent me today, Aldo?
Aldo has said he wants to terminate his contract because he was told that Connor would either defend his belt or be stripped of it.
Yeah.
I don't think anything's going to happen. I think what's going to happen is Connor is going to fight at 205 in the biggest event of all time with the best card of all time, I would argue. if he wins, I think they'll take the belt off him. I don't think he plans to go back down to featherweight. I don't think he can. He's comfortable making that weight. So I think if he wasn't having the opportunity to become the first ever fighter to be a two-weight champion at the same time, they would have already taken the belt off him. But what they're looking at is going, look, we'll leave it with him. Like, Aldo hasn't got a fight lined up before 205. So it's like, we'll leave it with him. And then either the next fight Aldo has will be against Conor for the belt, or it will be for the belt against Holloway or Pettis.
Yeah, or whoever else.
So I think it's more just to have that boast. Because it looks good for Conor, but also it looks good for the UFC and the sport, because it's saying, right now is the best it's ever been. Because we've got to go as the first ever held two belts at two different weight classes, tune in every time he fights. This is the biggest sport in the world. Do you know what I mean? It's a headline. So, yeah, I don't think Aldo will go anywhere. I think he's
so interesting.
He's kicking his toys out his pram a little bit.
Maybe.
It's interesting, all of that. So the thing that's annoyed me, and this is the bit where if you're not an MMA fan, skip forward like 10 minutes, because we'll only talk for 10 minutes or so.
We will get to dick jokes.
But people are angry that Conor got a title shot over Khabib Nurmagomedov. I don't understand that, because I think Khabib Nurmagomedov is capable of beating everyone in the lightweight division, but he's only beaten one person who's top 10. He's ranked number one, which I don't understand, because you've only beaten one person that's top 10. And people countered that to me online, saying, but that person that's top 10 went on to be the champ.
Yeah.
But that person who went on to be the champ also lost to Clay Guida, to Tyson Griffin, and to Gleison Tibau. And Gleison Tibau's had a hell of a run since then.
Yeah.
I don't think he should be getting a title shot.
Yeah.
So it's a weird one. And again, it's all turned out for the best, because on the undercard of McGregor Alvarez is Khabib against Michael Johnson, who's a ranked top 10 a lightweight. So that's exciting. And it's one of them.
He's a piece of shit, Johnson. I think he's a real piece of shit.
He's been a bit mouthy recently, hasn't he?
Yeah, I'm not liking him at all.
I think he's a good fighter. But it's one of them. It's a weird one. I'm not hating on Khabib at all. I think he can beat everyone at lightweight, including Alvarez and McGregor. But thinking that isn't enough. He has to do it. If he's only beaten one person in the top 10, we can't all say, yeah, but look at him, he's the best. So, well, if that's the case, then let's just give him the belt.
Yeah.
Let's just go, he's better than Alvarez. Let's just give him the belt. It's like, no, you've got to actually do it. So, yeah, I don't think that's a big shock. People were saying the travesty is that he was offered a contract to fight Alvarez, and that was kind of used to make Conor come in and play ball. But at the same time, Conor had a contract to fight for the lightweight belt before RDA got injured. Well, he's had that on the table as well. So it's like it's a weird one.
Conor has always got negotiation chips.
Yeah, of course, he's the biggest MMA fighter of all time.
But he's done that. He's done that. And 100%. He should be fighting that. He's Madison Square Garden. Has that all sold out? Then what's the score with that?
I mean, I'm not sure if it's even gone on sale yet,
because I'm just kind of like random impulse, like, so shall we go? Like, shall we go?
Sam wants to go. Go with Sam. I've basically, this is, and I'm going to be all vague and big shot now, I'm up for two or three acting roles that are around that time, and if they came in, I wouldn't be able to go.
Boogie Nights 2.
Yeah.
Head fluffer.
But said, yeah, if I wasn't, I'd go there in a fucking heartbeat. Because have you got the card in front of you?
Yep.
Read it out. It's the best. I would say it's the best card ever. I would say the first five or six fights could all headline.
Easy. Woodley Thompson title fight. Alvarez McGregor title fight. Weidman Romero. JJJ
title fight.
JJ against KK.
Yeah, exactly.
But again, that Weidman Romero one is massive, because Weidman has done so much to get it legalised in New York. So I will question you will ever hear a bigger reaction to anyone walking out than Weidman in New York.
Sweet. Okay.
Because again, he was one of the main people at the front in campaigning for that for a long time. Him and Frankie, who was also on the card.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie's from New York, isn't he?
I thought he was, but I think I'm wrong. I think he's from Philly.
Oh, is he?
Because that's what was confusing me at the press conference.
Who is your son?
Eddie Alvarez.
Okay.
Because it confused me at the press conference, because everyone was cheering for Connor and they weren't cheering for Eddie, but I'm pretty sure he's from Philly, you know.
Oh, right.
Because he's got the Rocky story and Philadelphia is all Rocky stuff, right, isn't it? So I think that's the case. But yeah, go on. Tim Kennedy, Rashard Evans. I mean, it's not on there yet, but Khabib against Michael Johnson. I know they haven't updated that on the website yet, but that's in there as well. How many is that? That's six or seven there.
And then headline. Fucking hell. Cerrone, Gastelum. Oh my God.
Cerrone v. Kelvin is amazing. It's only doesn't feel amazing because it was originally Cerrone against Lawler.
Yeah.
And if Cerrone Lawler was on that card as well, then just cancel the rest of the cards for the year, because that's the peak.
Yeah, true, but Kelvin's been absolutely going insane, beating the fuck out of everyone.
I think Kelvin's got the potential to
be my new boyfriend.
To be a mini Cain Velasquez. I could look it up. He's a 10th planet a boy with my boy Eddie Bravo.
He's a handsome motherfucker.
And you've not even got to Frankie.
A
Lil Heath and Jeremy Stevens.
Yeah.
Who got the biggest diss at the press conference. It felt bad, man.
I didn't see that.
As someone said, because again, it was just the Connor show. The reaction to Connor was insane. But someone said to Connor, look, there's a lot of people on stage tonight. Because he'd had a bit of mouth with Cerrone. He was like, there's a lot of people on stage tonight around your weight class. Is there anyone you can see as a thing? And no offence to Lil Heathen, but in my mind, they're referring to Frankie Edgar, to Cowboy Cerrone, you know, to a select through. Mm-hmm. And Lil Heathen jumps on the mic and starts saying something. And Connor, and he did it so genuinely, turned around and went, who the fuck is that? just genuinely, and his hair looks a bit different at the moment anyway. So it was a legit kind of, he generally just looked around and said, who is that? And Jeremy Stevens did just have to kind of, and Jeremy Stevens, again, he's a legend. He's been in so many Fight of the Nights, but yeah, it was kind
he's
of perfect.
A tough motherfucker, he is.
It was very funny.
Just while we're on the quick fighting thing, just in case people have whizzed past it and don't want to hear us banging on about MMA and stuff. A few days ago, got announced that Fury has been pulled from his fight with Klitschko.
Oh, really?
Oh, is he?
Again, due to illness, not really disclosed exactly what, to my knowledge yet. And so there was something from Eddie Hearn saying that he's almost secured it for Joshua to replace him and fight Klitschko.
Wow.
What do you make of that?
I love that because I think Joshua is an athlete, a professional, a great example. And I think Tyson Fury is none of those things. I think he's not an athlete. He's a piece of shit. He's a terrible example. I ranted on the first drunk cast, I think, I recorded a separate thing. Yeah. So it wasn't when we were here.
We didn't get round to it, did we?
No, because basically, I've got no love for the dude. The dude said, in big interviews, and again, just before he became the heavyweight champion of the world, he said in big interviews that he thinks the apocalypse is going to come, and the bad weather and the tragedies and all this or whatever is part of the apocalypse, because it's three things. We've accepted homosexuality. I can't even remember the three things he said, but he said next to come is public acceptance of paedophilia. Which, again, you're like, and his argument was, that may sound crazy now, but 50 years ago, the thought of gays being just an acceptable thing was unimaginable. It's like, so you're comparing homosexuality to paedophilia, and you're a massive public figure and sportsperson. Go fuck yourself. Fuck that guy.
I had so many inappropriate things to say there, but I'll say something sensible. He really needs to go and read a history book.
He needs
to say homosexuality or even the subject of legalising or normalising paedophilia, it's not new. It's not new. Yeah. There's societies going back hundreds of years that did both of those things, and the world didn't end. So, by the way, that's not me saying, hey, let's welcome back paedophilia.
You seem to be on the side of paedophilia here.
Right, Chris.
All I'm saying is there's some sexy kids out there.
It's an interesting one with the history of homosexuality as well, because it's often misconstrued. And I love it when we get onto stuff like this when we're a bit drunk.
Yeah.
Because it's all the better. But
that kind of brings on my anxiety.
there's a myth that homosexuality was accepted and welcome in Greek times.
Right.
And it's
right,
all this
right.
thing that the Greeks accepted homosexuality. And it's not true. It just didn't exist. It wasn't a term because they didn't have heterosexuality either. They simply had kind of dominant and submissive, I guess. It was like they didn't have that division of straight or gay. It was just, can I extract my pleasure from you? Can I extract my pleasure from you? It wasn't about if you've got a dick or a vagina or whatever else. So it wasn't that, oh, they were so welcoming and accepting of homosexuality. It was just, no, they didn't even consider that because it's... I still believe now it's some dumb shit. We shouldn't have these big labels and boundaries and lines. It should be just be open to whatever your desires are.
Yeah, and be excellent. Right, guys? And be excellent to each other. Be open to your mate passing off filming you in the shower as curiosity as to what rap song is he singing?
Fancy blowjob, Stu. But yeah, I don't know how we got to that. But yeah, no, I think Andy Joshua is a fucking... is a fucking athlete and a unit and he looks amazing and I couldn't be more of a fan of the dude. So I'd love for him to step in. It would be beautiful for him to be the one to put Klitschko to bed because Klitschko is an undeniable legend of boxing. The era he has had, the run he has had, but he happens to have a very boring style and Anthony Joshua doesn't. So it would be beautiful if the passing of the torch is to Joshua rather than someone like Fury who, regardless of the fact he's a fucking dumb piece of shit, he hasn't got that exciting a style. He's very much a smothering, awkward shape, awkward to fight, awkward... think so. I'd much rather the torch is passed to Anthony Joshua, who's
explosive.
Again, I mean, let's just admit it. He looks like a god as well. He is put together. I follow him on Instagram mainly for his workout shots. The dude looks well. But again, he's explosive. He's a knockout guy. He's a killer. So yeah, I'd much rather it gets passed on in that way. Shall we continue on the sports here? And let's go to Prince Nas later. So we've got this section.
Okay.
We'll do it in the next one because we're at 40 minutes now. So we've had this big section on MMA that was more than 10 minutes, as I promised. What should we go to now? Some films?
Switch it up. Let
float me... Floatworks. I wanted to talk about Floatworks. Have either of you guys done...
a ride at Thorpe Park?
Yeah. Have you been?
Is it?
No, it's not, you fucking idiot.
Is it? I thought I'd missed out on
what
some big news.
Your voice then?
Is it? Don't act like I don't do that every day at some point.
Your dog panicked as Chris hit that note.
The McRib, McRib is back at McDonald's. Is it?
Is it tall time?
Is the McRib back?
Jim, sound man Jim, my tour guy for ages, who you all know and love. He was obsessed with the McRib, and when we'd tour in Germany, it was the only place the McRib still existed, and we'd regularly get up in the morning to leave, and he will have got up early, been to McDonald's to get several McRibs, eaten them, and then come to pick us up at the hotel. He would go out of his way for McRibs. Also, incidentally, as you saw when we went to Snowdon, me, Stu, Ian and Tom Coles... climbed Snowdon as a charity thing and Jim was our driver.
Yep.
Thank God he wasn't climbing because he got hammered the night before, just drunk all night in the bar.
And driver's still a mountain.
With the locals. But his sat-nav, he's programmed it, he's put something in it, so anytime you drive within a mile or something of a McDonald's, it goes...
It was amazing.
And then imagine that on long tours when you're at late night, you've done a gig, you've fallen asleep, so... Oh, sound man Jim, the owner of the countdown story from the last, was that the last one? The
10, 9, that was the one before that.
It's one before, that was a classic that was. But I was talking about, yeah, have either of you ever done, gone in a sensory deprivation tank?
No.
And I don't want to sound all Rogan, because Joe Rogan, yeah, I've done it a couple of times, because Joe Rogan... banged on about these for ages on the Joe Rogan Experience, and I'd forgotten about it. I thought it was worth talking about it. I did it off the back of them, hearing that it's a really good thing, and I loved it. It's the weirdest thing. So you get in this tank, and you've got the option of some music playing. You've got the option of lights, but basically it's a tank, and the water has got this like saline solution in, so you float perfectly. And you've got the option of some light or having it open a little bit and some music. But the point is that it's meant to be complete sensory deprivation. Mm-hmm. It's pitch black. You've got it's soundproof, and the way you're floating, you can't feel anything. So I went in there and I did that, and I had no music and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the weirdest thing, because for the first 5-10 minutes, you're laying there thinking, and they're normally an hour long. It's half hour to an hour long. I booked an hour session. Mm. And you're sitting there thinking, all right, here I am then. You're naked. Your cock's floating there. Yeah. Your cock and balls are floating away. I know what you'd get up to in there, Chris. Mind some extra salt. the first 10, 15 minutes, you're thinking, oh, what am I going to do? But then it is this complete a relaxation thing. As it comes to the end, music starts to come and light starts to come to kind of take you out of it slowly. So it's not a, all right, you're done, out. And yeah, I really rated it. I think it's a really good thing for balancing, for... I laid in there and thought about song ideas, project ideas, work ideas. I also laid in there and thought about nothing. I said there was a period where it just, yeah, I don't know. But I don't know where the time went.
Yeah, totally. I've enjoyed lots of different facets of sensory deprivation.
Yeah.
Meditation does a lot of that. Transcendental meditation is not depriving of it, but you find your way of disappearing.
It's kind of seen as being nothing. A bit of a lazy man's. A meditation. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's taking you to a level of meditation that you need to spend a lot of time practicing it to get to. It's giving you a shortcut there because you're having that complete.
No, it does. You're taken out of it instantly. It would completely help with that. But other sensory deprivations for anyone interested.
Yeah.
Turn the lights off. Have a shower. I shower a lot in the dark, not to, you know, jack off and not without, you know, because I never know when he's filming.
No one suggested that. Yeah, he turns the lights off in case I've got my camera.
But I love doing that because all of a sudden you are taken away from all your visual senses. So it's just your sensation of a shower.
A shower is completely different from the bath as well, because the shower is kind of, it encompasses you in that space. If you're under the your flow feet,
but it's focused on touch, and there's a lot in sex where, you know, obviously the blindfold is the thing where, you know, get a blindfold out, but there's loads of that. Hearing as well is another big one in that. Yeah,
yep.
Recommend it.
So full kidnap.
Kidnap. Gaffer tape.
Please stop. Get off. Shh.
Don't talk.
Oh, everyone goes for blindfold. You forget that you can remove hearing, consciousness,
taste,
memory.
Cut their tongue out.
Don't do any of these things. It's hideous and unacceptable. But yeah, I found it really. Bought it for two different people. I bought it as a birthday gift for my mum and for Natasha Fox, really, who's come up like four times in this podcast now. But and Natasha, from what she said, enjoyed it. My mum, it freaked her out of it. She struggled to relax. She felt very conscious in there.
We double booked.
Yeah. Move over.
Let's just hold each other.
I tell you the one weird thing actually was my height, because the fact that you're floating is fine, but you do move a little bit, and every now and then my feet had clipped the end of the tank, and that had snapped me out of it. Do you know what I mean? It's a weird thing. You'd suddenly be aware that you're in a tank.
Fuck off, mate. You wasn't floating. All your hair, you were just this one giant tampon.
Absorbed it all.
Perfectly formed.
So what? When the music started, what was it? Was it like Pam Hypes and shit, or was it like...
It's just one of those
days.
No, it wasn't. It was Enigma. It was, of course, Enigma. A buddy piece who edits these podcasts, I once said something to him. I can't remember if it was in an email or in person. And it's something I've ripped off many times. It's one of the funniest things ever. He's like, I'm a mystery locked inside a riddle wrapped inside an Enigma t-shirt.
It's amazing.
It slayed me from day one. I was like, that's just genius. I've looked for Enigma t-shirts online since then. I haven't been able to find a good one. Just so I could do an Instagram.
A good one, right? That exists.
A good one, yeah. I wanted a good one. I mean, are we done with the sensory deprivation conversation?
Yeah.
Because if we are, you mentioned hairiness, and I accidentally shaved my legs a little while ago.
You are the hairiest person I know.
Now what? I'm what do you mean you accidentally shaved?
Like, honestly, my body is. I'm quite hairy.
You've got hair. The hair. You got real. You got distractingly hairy toes.
Hairy hands and arms.
Yeah.
My body isn't like my chest isn't grossly hairy. It's
yeah, but you've
hair
already said
it.
About like the weird hairs at the back of your head since you've got your new fucking Fonz look going on.
Yeah. Just stop it, mate. Just stop it.
I've never told you about that.
He's turning.
me and my brother were around my dad's, and something we discussed the Fonz in some way, and my dad was getting up and going to the kitchen, and he went, "Ee." By gum. And somehow turn the Fonz into a farmer.
Brilliant.
By gum. But yeah, I am hairy, but I'm not like, I've not got a crazy hairy chest or hairy back or any of this. I've got quite hairy legs, quite hairy arms, and a beard. And I was having a tidy up in my lady garden. I was just like, I got some small clippers. It's having a bit of a tidy up, but
small.
Who's the lucky lady? He's just like, that's too hairy for me. They wake up, just trimming you up down there. Don't mind me.
No, I was tidying my own.
don't say a word.
I was just having a bit of a tidy up. And the weird thing is, it's not particularly for anyone's enjoyment at this moment, because I'm not currently courting in particular. No, don't
Was it a trim up, or like, did you? Because are you like smooth as an eel down there?
Right,
or
I'll tell you this now, right?
Because
I'll confess, I have a trim
sexy
up.
Time.
I have a trim up. I don't go smooth as an eel in my pubis.
Yeah,
I trim up, but also I trim a little bit of my stomach hair, because I'm not that hairy in the stomach, but. As we've discussed with the fitness racing, I've got abs at the moment, and having a bit of a trim, it makes them look a bit clean.
This is fucking nice.
Anyway, I'm having a tidy up, and I kind of trimmed like the top of my leg hair, and then I was like, I'd gone too far, so I started to smooth it out, and then it went further and further, and then I left it, and I went and sat on the bed, and I was watching TV. I had pants on, but I could see kind of.
Ruining everyone's fantasy now.
I could see kind of stripes on my legs where I'd kind of tried to smooth it out. So I went and had another smooth out and tidy up. And basically, I've got a stutter. This happened for that. That wasn't a dramatic pause for the big impact of the story. Yep. That was my whole evening. I kept going back to sit in the bath to trim more, just to smooth it out, because it generally I looked weird.
That's brilliant.
Until I'd legit shaved.
Doing his nutting. He's doing his own nutting.
I'd shaved my whole legs.
Concocted this whole story of bullshit to bring to this podcast to justify the fact he shaved his legs because he's got a bit of muscle because he's been doing.
No, my legs aren't muscly. Look, my legs aren't
that
good.
Shaved. Look, they're shaved.
They're trimmed. They're still hair, but they're trimmed.
God, that's fucking terrible.
You think I'm joking?
That's really weird.
Oh, that is weird, mate.
Trim my legs, didn't I?
Yeah.
Honestly, it wasn't intentional.
No, he's right. Did I tell this story before when I had this dry patch of skin under my eye?
No, you
and
didn't.
And I used the exciting. I had this dry patch of skin under my eye, and one of my my girlfriend at the time, she'd left some like skin moisturiser around my house, or so I thought, and it was Dove. So I rubbed it under my eye patch, and I noticed that this Dove said like +2% tanning. And I got a bit OCD about it. So then I did my face. And then I did my body. And then I done my whole body. I was walking around my house, like, waiting for it to dry off. And it made it tanned. I thought I got away with it until my mate saw the white T-shirt. Obviously, because I don't know what I'm doing with tanning. And I had, like, tanned, like, all the collar around my white T-shirt had gone brown. And my friends were like, what the fuck are you tanning?
Looking smooth.
So I get it, man. I can laugh at you, but I've been there.
I'll be honest.
I was 14, as you can see, I've got quite hefty eyebrows.
Do you know what, mate? I've never noticed, and I'm glad.
I've never.
I'd say your whole face is quite hefty.
Okay.
It's troglodyte. It's Nephilim in shape, if anyone's familiar with the Nephilim.
Yeah, as a face, yeah. Hefty is a good...
Thick-browed...
Thick-looking.
Forehead like a drive-in cinema.
Miserable. Like miserable, like yeah. Depressingly miserable,
like yeah, a deflated yeah. dinghy.
Like it yeah. doesn't look like he sings, like just while he's working. And
he
stuff.
Yeah, he wouldn't be that guy. He'd be the guy who looks at the person singing,
yeah. and goes, "Why are you fucking yeah. singing?"
I'd be looking at the bloke in the office that thinks he's funny, thinking, "Yeah, me and my mates were funnier than you when I was young."
That's exactly the thing.
Let me tell you how many crazy things I've done.
Anyway, you and your bushy eyebrows.
You sexually assaulted that old lady once.
It's a callback to a previous podcast.
But yes.
Just so anyone knows that.
All cleared up, by the way. All cleared up.
Yeah.
She hasn't sexed you.
No, I've got hefty eyebrows. I'm sitting in the bath. And I
again, this is telling a story. This isn't a description of what's happening now.
So I decided I'd... I think I was 14 and maybe I'd just started to shave maybe once a month, like some tiny little bit of sideburn or something like that.
Yeah.
I'd never really used a Bic razor or whatever it was, and I remember just sort of testing it on my arm just to sort of see how it worked and if it was going to like really hurt and things like that.
Tested it on his arm.
What were you going to test it on, you prick?
Your face.
Oh yeah, like, I just fucking what?
You're that little bit of sideburn. You don't test it on your arm. Who's done that?
Right. Any listeners? It, just get straight.
You just
into
jump
it.
In, mate. You're 14. You don't think about testing it on your arm. Anyway, sorry,
so
mate.
So you shaved your arms.
Shoes
so
left.
I thought I'd thin out my eyebrows because they're quite hefty.
Thin them out. So when you're testing it, not when you become an expert at this razor.
I'd take it all back. You are
off of my arm that went from being quite hairy to completely bald.
Yep.
And I thought, if I just run
that's
it
enough
over...
testing. That's yep, enough testing already yeah. to move on to
I made my, yeah.
a very visible part of yeah. my... The most visible part
the most
of my
visible,
face.
Yeah.
I'm just going to thin it a little bit.
Yeah.
And
feathering.
And proceeded to remove 3/4 of my eyebrow.
Brilliant.
Oh.
Brilliant.
Then had a massive fucking meltdown.
Yeah.
obviously, dried myself off, popped some probably Jim Jams on... And run downstairs and was like, "Mum, I've shaved my eyebrow off." To which, obviously, they thought it was fucking hilarious. So I was stroppy 14-year-old. Like, shut up, what am I going to do? My mum proceeded to try and fashion one with, like, a makeup pen.
Brilliant.
Which made me look like,
was it
Lieutenant Harris in Police Academy or something like that? It just looked so shit. And, like,
that's brilliant.
But at the time, bless her, she was just trying to help me out. But I vividly remember it was snowing at the time, and I went to school the next day with a massive plaster on my eyebrow.
Oh, great.
Concocted a story that I had this snowball fight, and this snowball hit me in the face. I had glass in it, and I'd cut all my eyebrow open.
That
fantastic.
Is fantastic.
Concocted
a
full story.
Yeah, so
and then the doctor had to shave it, and then the doctor's assistant had to draw a shit one on.
But then I think it was like 2 days in, I'd got in from school, and... I'd got changed and put my gi on because I had karate that night.
All right.
Went to karate, but I took the plaster off when I got in from school. Completely forgot to put it back on.
Oh, no.
And, like, lots of my school friends went to karate me and they were like, man, what the fuck's going on with your eyebrows? Oh, and I was like, they were like, where's the cut? And I was like, yeah, it's healed. And they're like, bullshit, man, what happened? I was like, shaved my eyebrow off.
I like it.
Always catches up on you.
It makes me think of just stories of embarrassing or weird incidents. And I touched on this on Tuesday Night Jaw this week with Jim Smallman. Oh, we've not talked about progress yet. We'll get into that in the next episode. But I touched on this. He asked a question of what's... Because at progress at the weekend, someone in the first move of a fight got legitimately injured.
Yeah.
And was out cold. And it was a fucking scary moment,
yeah, it was,
man.
Because he was.
You see people get knocked out in MMA all the time and they're moving quite quick. This guy was not moving.
No, there was no moving. No quick recovery. And strangely, I don't know if it was me or where the lights were, but the blood was not in his head. Not as in it had spilt over the mat.
He looked
gormless, like terrible shade.
It was frightening. It was a really. It turned out it was fine. And again, like we'll talk about all that in the next episode as we're at the hour mark. But the question came up of the worst you've felt at work or the worst injury you've had, because we've not had much sleep because we've recorded the podcast after the day after. And I told one story about breaking my ribs on stage and cool stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And then I remembered that I once had to go home early from HMV because my nipples hurt. Because I'd got my nipples infected in a hot tub.
Yeah, that's what you get for piercing your nipples.
That's sexy and horrible.
Yeah, it was gross. And we'd Kate, who I used to go out, we've had a hot tub. Her parents had a hot tub, and a load of us had been to some staff
were
party.
Their nipples all right?
They were all fine.
Parents' nipples were fine.
I've got a pierced nipple though. So that's probably where the infection came in. So is Kate's mum. No, her parents weren't there, and she does have a pierced nipple. she doesn't. I don't know if Kate's mum has a pierced nipple. And we'd all gone to this night out. In fact, Stu Tell was there. We don't give surnames. Stu was there.
Stewie.
If we're going to talk Stews, we're going to have to, because there's a lot of us, isn't there?
There's a lot of Stews, yeah. And this isn't a bad story. So Stu was there, and I think that might... No, I won't go into that.
Oh, wow.
So, just rewind on that. Stu was there, and numerous other people from work, and we're all drunk. We're like, let's get in the hot tub. And the fact is, the hot tub hadn't been used for a while, and you're meant to use all sorts of chemicals in them to make sure it's clean. So, but it was dark, so we all got in there drunk, partied, sat in this hot tub. And then the next day I went to work, and my T-shirt rubbing on my nipples was the most painful thing in the world.
I get you.
And my nipples were infected, and I went home, and I burst lumps that had come up on my nipples, and pus came out of them. Anyone turned on now?
A little bit.
I just don't know. I can't still find it weird you've got your nipple pierced.
Yeah, are they still pierced now?
Yeah, my nipple's still pierced. It's wonky.
Don't get out.
It's wonky.
Was that one of your kind of like mid-90s unmetal kind of piercings?
Rebellion!
Yeah.
I had my eyebrow pierced sideways. I had horizontal eyebrow piercing because I'm fucking...
When the fuck did you have that, did I know you when you had that?
Probably not.
I can still squeeze pus out of where I have my eyebrow pierced.
Yeah.
I'm squeezing pus out of
here. I honestly had my nipple pierced. I had my left nipple pierced because my right arm hurt. And my brother suggested
it. I remember you saying that.
My right arm hurt, and it was a really weird pain. I went to the doctors. They did test. They said there's nothing wrong with it, and it really hurt. And I came up with the idea of piercing my nipple to distract me from the other arm hurting. I had my belly button pierced for ages, and I had that pierced because I was in New York with my mate Tracy Ann and with Mutt and with Kate. And Tracy Ann was like a goth and whatever, and really, but didn't have any piercings or tattoos and was scared of it. And I was like, look, I'll show you, it doesn't hurt. And I got my belly pierced to show her. And I genuinely didn't notice the piercing happen. Like, I generally, in the UK, they pierce you. And then the painful bit is when they then push the bar in.
Mm-hmm.
There, they kind of had some weird needle that the bar was screwed onto. So the piercing was the bar going in as well.
Yeah.
So I was had that first bit. I was bracing myself for the next bit. I went, oh, you're done. And I got up and went outside. I was like, see, it doesn't hurt. And she almost passed out. So she never got anything pierced. But that's why I had my belly pierced.
I got my tongue pierced. Old girlfriend bought that for me, and I had that for.
Look on Gun Whipping's face then. I was just, what?
Yeah, it was back at uni days, different rules. And
is that when you had red hair as well?
Yeah, it was.
You had your hair dyed red.
I had some very different rules.
You turned into like a crazy alternative kid for like 1 year, though.
My hair was
like for 1 year.
Red as that. I shit you not. And.
Was that a nowhere though? Because you were never the crazy alternative.
I'm not into
style wise.
Like, yeah,
you were never crazy.
No.
Like you never looked like
feel
a metal
like
or a punk
to.
Or anything else.
I didn't.
And that 1 year, red
did that,
hair,
got my
pierced
tongue, pierced, and then got my legitimately cunnilingus. A girl I was seeing had her clit pierced, and it had a hoop, and I had a bar, and it kept playing jiggery pokery with it. You know, I was getting the bar put through the clit ring. Yeah. So it was like, that wasn't working out. And I took it out. I thought, I'd just pop it out. And went to sleep. And I think I got up about... I better edit this story. About 5 hours later, I had to get up. And went to put it back in. And I couldn't fit it back in. Couldn't fit it in my tongue. My tongue muscle had sort of like... healed up. Or if it hadn't fully healed up,
I like the fact you took it out before going to sleep.
Yeah. No, it was during sex.
I'm planning cunnilingus in the morning. So I'd best pop this out.
It was during sex.
Shall I set my alarm for 7 for work? No, I'll set it for 6:30. Have some cunnilingus.
and then I could probably have another 5 minutes in bed if I take the piss in hand now.
Dear, what time do you want cunnilingus in the morning? I'd best pop the bar out now.
He's much like me not wearing underpants. It speeds things up, guys.
Time saving. More from Craig in the next episode. Anyway, let's call this one a day. In the next episode, we're going to talk about films. Finally, we've not got onto films. We're going to talk about Stu DJing in Dartford. We forget that Prince Naz. We're going to talk about this message I got, and I'll read the message. I'll read a chunk of the message. The opening of the message is this. Phil? ? Holy shit, dude. I backpacked around Malaysia with you in like 2002. ? We'll get on to that later. That's the start of a message I got on Facebook. We're going to talk about the best game I have ever played in my life.
Snap.
I recently played the best game I've ever played in my life, and it's amazing. We're also going to talk about the declaration of the 7th happiest place to live in the UK.
It's bullshit, man. He's paid for that. And we're going to talk about my failed suggestion of a podcast recording.
We're going to talk about Chris's failed suggestion of a podcast recording. Gosh. Which Stu politely stayed quiet on. Or rudely stayed quiet on. I politely responded to. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Stu's immersive event in London. And we will get to a little story from Craig. We're also going to talk about Prince Nas, if we remember, and probably other stuff that will come up.
You've been listening to Scrooby's Pits. Discretion pieces.
Bits and pieces.
Youth culture.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.